The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Let's rock and roll. What do you say here? There you go, Bob. Coming up on 12:05, we're here every afternoon, Monday through Friday. It is the Buckmaster Show, Bob Dio. My producer-engineer does such a great job, and Bob now, his first full week, really, because we launched the new all-local talk format. It's hard to believe so much has happened in 1 week. It's a week ago today. So anyway, together we welcome you to this Buckmaster edition on Thursday, the 8th day of November 2018. You are listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Our live line number, if you have any questions about the city of Tucson, the recently passed $225 million bond sale for city parks. Any questions for Richard Fimbres, the vice mayor of the city of Tucson, the Ward 5 Democrat, who is with us now on the live line. Mr. Vice Mayor, how are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. You must be absolutely delighted with the vote count, really, on the two propositions that were on the ballot. Let's begin with parks. What do you think about that?
I think that was a great effort. I think it shows the work that we have done with our roads and streets, and we've had some good citizens to come to us. Well, and also with our police and fire proposition we passed a few years ago. And it speaks well. You know, the city charter mandate says we have to deal with parks and rec, police and fire, roads and streets. And I think that because of the help that we've been able to get from our good citizens and rolling up their sleeves to help us solve these problems together, we're going to be able to do that. And I think the oversight committees that we have placed in place for those groups will really help us make sure we hit the most needy areas of our great city.
When does this begin, the whole parks update?
Oh, we have a thorough plan, and you can go to TucsonArizona.gov/parks and bonds, but it's going to start. I mean, the plan has been going. The parks director and his staff and our city staff have been looking at the issues. There's about 100 of the 126 parks we're going to be able to enact some changes to and help with. Everybody wants to go to the park and you know, relax, hold their quinceañeras, hold their baptismals, hold their birthday parties, and so this is going to be good. But the proposition came about because a citizen was retiring our debt early, and the capacity of $225 million was created. Proposition 407 won't raise property taxes, has citizen oversight and narrow language so that money can't be moved around or to other non-park projects. So they will start. You'll start seeing a lot of changes in 2020.
Well, that's very good news for the city of Tucson. It's interesting that the parks measure passed overwhelmingly, while the county situation, over $200 million to improve the county roads, went down to defeat. Do you have any kind of thoughts on that, Councilman Fimbres?
I think it's bad, because I had a lot of roads and streets in my ward that still could use a lot of help that were in that package. I'm not sure. I think that the county will have to do an analysis and come up with why it failed. But I know we've been blessed that we've had our parks. You know, we invested $25 million. That wasn't enough. And then so we asked the good citizens to come out and support it. We got that passed. And then now we went to, again, parks. We're not done with roads and streets. And then we asked for police and fire. And now this time, and 407 just passed. And it did well in all the wards. It did well. So, and, you know, the count's still not all in, but it shows that we're moving in the right direction with our city.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation with the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Richard Fimbres. He's also the Ward 5, longtime Ward 5 Democratic councilman. Now, on the other proposition, the people, the voters in the City of Tucson said, we like the fact that our elections are off-year elections and not during the general election. So the odd year overwhelmingly passed. So what now? How will that information be used, Councilman?
I think that we're going to go back to the formula that we were using because that's what the good citizens of Tucson have said. You know, the citizens of Tucson's this process has been challenged 19 times.
What, 19?
19 times it has been upheld in courts, and then it came to the legislature. To try to make this challenge, I forgot it was Proposition 408 we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and they brought it to the legislature to try to make this challenge, and the citizens of Tucson again stood up and said, no, we like it. If you looked at the ballot, I think the citizens of Tucson want to focus on the city issues, and that's why they chose to do it an odd number of years. And then this ballot, I mean, we were at the last portion of it. You had the federal issues, you had the state issues, you had the county issues, and then you had the city. And I think that's what the citizens of Tucson don't like. And then we do have all vote by mail also with the city of Tucson. So we'll see what happens next. I know my colleagues will have to go and look at this thing and see what step is next.
Well, I for one, like the idea that the council holds these off-year elections. That way we can have the candidates here on the program. There's no rush to do it. I mean, we can give them enough time where before it would just get lost.
Exactly.
If it was in the even-year elections.
I know I got a lot of calls on who the judges are.
Yeah.
On the ballot. And there were a lot of judges on the ballot, and that created a lot of confusion, too, for folks. And then you may have voter fatigue.
Uh-huh.
Where people get confused with what proposition it is, so they just vote no or they don't vote at all.
That's right. Let's go to the live line. Jeff would like to ask a question of Councilman Fimbres. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, Councilman, my question goes back to the street repair. Somehow the city and the county seem to be getting swashed together in this discussion about road repair. You just mentioned the county bond that was going to give money to the city and various other entities. But my question is, doesn't the city of Tucson have a responsibility within itself to repair the roads that are within the city? There's none of the county's problem. So, for instance, when I rattle through the intersection of Wetmore and Oracle, for example, and I wonder who's responsible for that, I would think of you, I guess. Is that correct or not? No,
Jeff, it depends on what city. There are a lot of boundaries. And the city streets go into the counties, and then you have the state highways also. So there's a lot of, you're talking about different entities. You're talking about PAG, you're talking about the RTA, you're talking about the ADOT, you're talking about TDOT. So everybody, and the county system. So you're looking at so many different ones, and a lot of them, they intertwine, and we also have dual responsibility. So that's what I'm thinking about. The roads we were talking about also run from the city, to the county, and vice versa. And then, you know, like the downtown links is a perfect example.
Well, when you hit a big pothole, you want to swear at somebody.
Yes.
You know, one thing that hurts your cause in this road repair is exactly what you just did. I asked you a fairly specific question about, you know, I used a specific example. The question was general. The example was specific, Wetmore and Oracle, which is certainly the city. And, you know, we did a dance. And,
that's what I'm just telling you. There are multiple agencies working together to try to solve and fix our roads and our streets. And then the other thing is the funding source and who's going to cover it. I think that's what you're talking about. You want to hear specifics? That's not in my ward. You could call the office there. That's Ward 3, I believe. call them and they'll tell you. We also have a hotline at TDOT that you can call directly about pots, roads and streets, and they'll get you an answer.
TDOT is the Tucson Department of Transportation.
Yeah, Tucson Department of Transportation, Arizona Department of Transportation.
Call that number, Jeff. Tell them specifically your complaint, and we'll get it done, I hope. Anyway, Councilman, stick around. I'm going to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Have you been up to Mona's yet?
I haven't been there recently, but they have some good Danish up there.
Oh, no kidding. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve, Chief Baker, gets up so early. I don't know how he does it. They start the baking, you can imagine, way before dawn, right? So now at lunchtime, that means the bread that you will have on your sandwich will be perfect. It will have come out of the oven just a few hours ago. I love Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's. In about a half hour, we'll tell you about Mona's and what they're doing for Thanksgiving for your rolls and pies. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Everybody's talking right here at AM 1030 KVOI. That's where you are. And, of course, got the worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Hey, we got some good news about Silver City. They reopened after 2 years, the museum over there at Western New Mexico University, which has, I believe, the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world. The museum is now reopened. That's really good news. So, 3-hour drive to Silver City, lots to do, like visiting that world-class museum on the nice campus, Western New Mexico. It's a nice little campus over there. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They've been a great sponsor of ours. City Councilman Richard Fimbres, he's the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. He represents Ward 5. He's with us on the live line. And Jeff, if you're still listening, you called us about a particular situation in a pothole. Call 791-3154. 791-3154. Tell them exactly where the pothole is, and they will take care of it. Correct, Councilman Fimbres?
Yes. I couldn't think of the number off the top of my head, then I thought of it after we went off the air.
All right. We want to thank you.
791-3154.
Thank you for your service. We've got Veterans Day coming up. Thank you for serving this country, Councilman. We really do appreciate it. And I know you've got some activities you want to let our listeners know about for Veterans Day.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Starting tomorrow, November 9th, I'll be leading a contingency of elected officials and veteran organizations. We'll be going over to the Southern Arizona VA Hospital to give out more than 4,000 thank you cards and letters made by our children from schools across Tucson and Southern Arizona to veterans at the hospital, as well as veterans who are on the VA staff. Hmm. This is about the 8th year that we've led this event to go through to thank our veterans for the services they've provided and the freedoms we have, and it also to instill the value of patriotism in our youth.
And, of course, we have the military ball that's coming up at the YMCA.
Yes. The YMCA will be hosting their military ball on the 10th, and this is a fundraising event that raises monies to provide veterans and their families the programs and services the YMCA offers. You have Jessica Cristo, a former U.S. Coast Guard student at Northern Arizona University, Joanna Mendoza, office of Congressman Tom O'Halloran. You have Melvin Butch Morgan, President of Vietnam Veterans of America, Tucson Chapter 106, Lieutenant General Eugene Santarelli, retired U.S. Air Force, Tony Penn from the Southern Arizona United Way, and you have David Hutchinson, CEO of Tucson Electric Power and UNS Corporation, Unisource, and Michael Eastman from Comcast are being honored with the Council of Heroes.
All right, and then the Veterans Day Parade, this would be, oh my goodness, the 99th Tucson Veterans
Day
Parade.
That's on the 12th, but we also have on Sunday, we have the Pascua-Yaqui Tribe is holding a Veterans Recognition Ceremony honoring those members of their tribe who served in the military. I am honored and help be representing the city of Tucson at this event. And then on Sunday, the Knights of Columbus from at 2 p.m., and the KC Club will be hosting a Veterans Recognition Ceremony honoring those who served our country in the military. We have many supporters. You have the American Patriot Memorial, Army Status, Tucson Troop Support, United States Marine Corps League, Pima County Sheriff's Department, SOAR, the American Legion, and Gold Star Mothers will be there to help recognize some of those veterans.
This is a very important Veterans Day, marking, of course, the end of World War One.
Yes.
What about your own service? Give our listeners a little bit of background on that. What was your service?
I was a military policeman, patrol narcotics dog handler during the Vietnam era. I served active duty, and then I went into the Army National Guard here in Arizona, and then I transferred over to the United States U.S. Army Reserve. So I was a military policeman, patrol narcotics dog handler, and then I was a field medic, and then I left as a patient administration specialist with the 6251st U.S. Army Hospital.
Well, we thank you.
I had a total of 27 and a half years in.
Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you.
Give us an update. Are we about at the one-year point of the program that you spearheaded to try to help our homeless people get into the workforce, off the street and into the workforce?
This is our second year, and it's been going pretty well. We've helped a lot of service folks, and the good thing is in our program, you have a navigator in the van with them, so whatever services they we can provide for them, we can help them with and hook them up and connect them to those. We've had we pay them $10.50 an hour for 5 hours work. The city and the county have been great partners with us, so along with the private sector, and many of our businesses have picked it up, and we've provided services to several, I can't remember the number of folks off the top of my head, and we've cleaned up a lot of the areas and picked up a lot of garbage, and it's really helped them. But the important part is, Bill, is that one of these persons bought the car part he needed with the money he got, fixed his car, and he went back home. Another one bought a bus ticket at the Greyhound Park terminal and went home. So, and there's a lot of them have bought other clothes and other services and have been able to utilize it to better improve their quality of life. We also have the Trinity Presbyterian Church that provides a shower. Caridad provides meals for these folks, and there's a clothing bank that's available. And it really helps these people get back into mainstream society.
Well, I think you're to be congratulated. This is a great program. It really is. And if you can get even one or two success stories, you just mentioned a couple of them, and I know there's a lot more than that. This is actually we're doing something with our Tucson Homeless Work Program to really help these people, and it's a good thing.
Thank you. And then we also have the downtown merchants that have been helping us. We are coming up with an idea of the Tucson Change, where we're putting 20 different parking meters throughout the city where there's high traffic of foot traffic. They're going to be put in there, and then you can donate to those meters that will help the Homeless Work Program. We're talking to President Robbins at the university to get some sites on the university campus. And also we've talked to Bonnie Allen and the Tucson Airport Authority about putting a couple sites there. When you have to empty your change and empty your pockets, you can stick it in there, and that'll go to support the homeless work programs.
That's a very good idea. Quickly, we've only got about 3 minutes left. There's some good economic development coming out of Ward 5, isn't there?
Yes, sir. We have GEICO is constructing a 200,000-square-foot new regional office at the Bridges. It is another part of the renaissance of Ward 5 in the south side. More than 2,100 employees will be at the new regional office. With the new building, GEICO will be expanding their workforce by 700. Don Bourne is overseeing the construction of the GEICO building, and the construction is to be completed by May 26th of 2019. So that's good news, and they're expanding. GEICO, we were able to keep them in southern Arizona, and also they're expanding by 700 more jobs.
Wow.
And then the university is moving down the Tech Park. The University of Arizona announced that they will be proceeding with construction and development of the new Tech Park at the Bridges. They have hired Boyer Company to develop the Tech Park. The U of A said that they will be starting development with the construction of two buildings. One will be four stories and 120,000 square feet. The other will be six stories and 180,000 square feet. Don Bourne, who is also partnering with the U of A on the development of the Tech Park, and construction is to be also in 2019. So these are exciting times. We're having jobs creation. You got Raytheon coming in. We have Caterpillar here and growing. So there's lots of movement coming into our areas. One of the things I would like to see is Pima Community College and JTED and some of these funding that were not funded to be refunded by the state so that we can create that workforce.
All right, let's see
in our community.
Let's see if we can get a question in for you. Another question from Russ. Call us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Russ.
Basically, this isn't a question, it's a comment. Richard, I have a lot of respect for you. I worked with you at Pima, and I really want to commend you what you've done for this community, both at Pima and on the city. And I'm not patronizing you, but you've done a great job, guy.
Thank you, Russ. I really appreciate that. It's a team effort, and everybody's coming together to improve the quality of life for all our citizens. And you've done a great service to us at Pima Community College, because that's where about 80% of our workforce comes from. And we need to generate that. We need to continue to do that. If we want bigger companies to come and relocate to Southern Arizona and look at us, we need a workforce. And Pima College is that key institution that can develop the workforce for us.
Yeah, it's important, you know. And I've never been one to knock some of these call center jobs. And some folks would say, oh, they're call center jobs. Believe me, folks, they're good jobs. So let's don't knock that. Somebody needs a job, let's give them a job. That's the way I feel about it.
And there's a lot of things that these folks, they could start, and then they go on to higher opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, like Raytheon has entry level, and they have higher level positions. You know, Bombardier also, yeah. With the automotive area, the industry that Mr. Lambert is creating out there at the downtown campus is another critical area for us. Yep. These are jobs that, you know, even our construction jobs, these folks can name their price anywhere in this country because of all the natural disasters that have occurred. We have a shortage of construction workers.
You're right.
So we need to turn that workforce around. And these are jobs that Pima can help generate, JTEC can help generate, the Job Corps can help generate, and get the folks more into the workforce.
All right.
Good paying jobs.
Councilman Richard Fimbres, thank you very much. Hope you have a great day and good Veterans Day.
I wish you a safe holiday season. Starting up with Thanksgiving, we have lots to be thankful in our great city, and our great country. And I thank you for your efforts.
Thank you very much, Richard Fimbres, with us on The Buckmaster Show. We're at about 12:31. We'll pause right here. Writer A.J. Flick. Coming up next, a very interesting crime story. It's true. Toxic Shock is the name of the book, right after this.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our great sponsor, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The Green Things now, their 13-acre site, also encompasses Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. And this weekend, lectures about Mata Ortiz pottery, that great pottery from the state of Chihuahua, master potter Julio Mora will be involved, sale of Mr. Mora's work. And all of that's happening starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. and running through Sunday over at Green Things. For more information, greenthingsaz.com. Check it out. So much going on at Green Things. The murder of Brian Stidham, a well-known and respected Tucson pediatric ophthalmologist in October of 2004, is the centerpiece of a new book titled Toxic Rage by former Tucson citizen reporter and longtime journalist A.J. Flick. Dr. Stidham was stabbed to death in the foothills as the result of a murder-for-hire plot that stemmed from a colleague's professional jealousy. Dr. Bradley Schwartz, also a pediatric ophthalmologist, and Ronald Bruce Bigger, a hitman, were arrested and convicted for the murder. A.J. Flick is with me in studio now. A.J., good to see you.
Nice to see you, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
You know, jealousy, of course, is such a horribly, it can be such a horribly powerful emotion. And in this case, it was like jealousy on steroids.
Yes.
I mean, it just, where did all of this go bad with these two doctors? How long were they together, and when did it all fall apart?
Dr. Schwartz hired Dr. Stidham to come to Tucson and take over the pediatric eye surgery part of Schwartz's medical practice. And about a year into Brian's stay here in Tucson, Dr. Schwartz was arrested for writing illegal Vicodin prescriptions, and the DEA raided his practice, and his then-girlfriend, Lourdes Lopez, was also arrested and charged with filling these Vicodin prescriptions for Dr. Schwartz. He was self-medicating a shoulder injury.
Uh-huh.
And when the DEA came and raided the business, Brian was very shocked and concerned. And as a result, Dr. Schwartz was ordered to rehab, and also he had to work through the federal case against him, losing his medical privileges. And during the time that Dr. Schwartz was away at rehab, Dr. Stidham decided to go off on his own and start his own practice.
And that did it, huh?
That's what prosecutors say led to this rage, this toxic rage, that over the next couple of years built and built and built until Dr. Stidham was killed.
And what about the lady involved in all of this?
Lourdes Lopez, interesting person, and she's still around town.
Yes.
I hear she's a paralegal working with one of the tribes. Mm-hmm. She was a former prosecutor. When she met Dr. Schwartz, she was a prosecutor.
In the Pima County
Attorney's Office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of being charged in federal court, County Attorney Barbara LaWall requested that she resign.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't fired. She resigned. And as a result also of the, not the Vicodin case so much as being involved with Schwartz and not being honest, she lost her law license. And she's a very interesting character because she became Schwartz's main accuser.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of surprised when I was looking at the legal cases in preparing this book that there's an interesting twist involving Lourdes Lopez in Dr. Schwartz's appeal.
Hmm.
And so this case, even though it has a lot of twists and turns and it sounds like it's too wild to be true, it's still continuing to amaze me with all of the twists and turns that it takes.
How long did it take investigators to put this all together? Was this a difficult thing, or were they pretty quick to put this together, this case?
It was about 10 days mm-hmm. after the murder. There was a lot of pressure on the Pima County Sheriff's Department to find the killer. And someone of Dr. Schwartz's, Dr. Stidham's stature.
Right. High-profile individual
yeah,
in the community.
Seemingly no enemies.
Right.
But you know, they just don't get killed every day. And there was a lot of pressure on the sheriff's department to find out who did it. And they started getting all of these calls and people coming forward saying that Brad Schwartz, even the night of the murder, Daphne Stidham, the victim's wife, mm-hmm. said that the only person who had anything against Brian was Dr. Schwartz.
Mm. So. We're speaking with A.J. Flick. She is the author of Toxic Rage, A Tale of Murder in Tucson. This is a book that's doing very well. And, of course, you're going to be involved at the Tucson Festival of Books. That's
yes.
good news. And you've been making a lot of appearances. The book's doing well on Amazon,
it's
I assume.
Doing very well. Yeah. It's enough to be called a bestseller.
Wow.
So
cool.
The Kindle version is still the number one new release in its category. And I'm just thrilled about that.
And what is the attraction, do you think? Just people are just fascinated by the tale of kind of two doctors, you know, kind of turning, or one doctor kind of going crazy with rage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that there were so many people involved who came and told prosecutors and testified that Dr. Schwartz kept saying even Brian heard these rumors that Schwartz was going around saying that he was going to have him killed or
oh my goodness.
Hurt
so
his
he's very
reputation.
Vocal about that.
Yes.
So people heard this and so, you know, he goes out and he gets Ronald Bruce Bigger. I guess he said, "Hey, where can I get a hitman or something?"
Yeah. And that's another thing about it too. If you had to hire a hitman,
yeah.
it wouldn't be Bruce Bigger. He was not
Who
a
was
hardened
he?
Criminal.
Who was he?
He was a fellow from Indiana who came out to Arizona kind of I think to for the weather and also to escape his problems back home.
And in the phone book under Hitman. No, I mean, what the heck?
But he had no big violent criminal history.
Yeah.
He usually his involvement would involve getting beaten up. And so to have someone like Bruce Bigger be accused of and especially stabbing someone to death, you don't think that if you're going to put a hit on someone, it's usually colder, it's a gun. It's stabbing is kind of a personal rage filled.
Sure.
And if you're a hitman and you're not emotionally invested in this jealousy, it's also very odd that Dr. Siddon would be stabbed to death.
Where was the scene of the crime specifically?
It was at his in the parking lot of his medical practice on First Avenue, just south of River.
What would you like the reader to take away from the book? And obviously, people are being attracted to it. What would the message be, A.J. Flick?
Well, I think the big message is you never know what another human being is going to do. You have all of these unlikely, you have an unlikely victim, unlikely contract killer, unlikely instigator, and you never would have thought that these people would have been involved in something so heinous. And so I always like to, when I approached court stories, and especially this story, is just I wanted to get into their heads and just figure out who they were and what motivated them. And that's what I tried to do with the book. And people seem to be responding to that well. I wanted them to get to know these people before we find out what happened to all of them.
And you were covering this at The Citizen, right?
Yes, I was. Yes.
And so when did The Citizen go down?
It's going to be 10 years next year.
I thought it was coming up on almost a 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
A black day for our afternoon paper. You guys did such a great job.
Yeah, I loved
Mark Kimball and the whole team, and a lot of the folks still around town, right?
Yes, and yes. In fact, one of them is coming up after you, Steve Rivera.
Steve Rivera with his new very popular sports talk show.
Yes.
He hit a home run right here on KVOI. All right, so where can people get the book, Toxic Rage?
I'm having a book signing on Saturday at Clues Unlimited, mm-hmm. and a week from Saturday, a book signing at Mostly Books, mm-hmm. Antigone Books as well. And if you're not in Tucson, of course, you can go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and buy the Kindle or the print book, and soon we'll have an audiobook.
Is there a website that might list also information about the book?
Yes, you can go to wildbluepress.com.
Okay.
And you can also go on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/writerAJFlick, and I have all the information about the book, media appearances like this show.
Thank you.
And also, information about the book. I like to post things about it.
AJ, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
AJ, it's time to tell people about my favorite bakery. Do you believe Thanksgiving is coming up 2 weeks from today?
No way.
Yeah, it's real early.
Oh my gosh.
It's real early this year. Steve, my favorite baker at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise, wants to remind all of our listeners it's time to think about your pies and all those wonderful rolls that Steve can make sure you're going to have on your Thanksgiving table. So check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise. And also go to their website, monasdanishbaker.com. And check it out or call 579-1959, Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018.
For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI and, of course, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Anthony Jimino is one of two dozen regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. He's a sports journalist with a long background in writing about University of Arizona athletics, including covering the football beat for the Arizona Daily Star and the Tucson Citizen. Anthony is senior editor of Lindy's Football Annuals. He's co-founder of a local blog, allsportstucson.com, which is doing very well. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing good. You forgot to mention, I know that Steve Rivera guy who follows you on the air.
Steve is part of the All Sports Tucson.
Yes,
yes. So, I mean, there, it's definitely a connection. Steve is doing very well with his sports show, as you've been listening, I'm sure.
I have, yes.
Rather than just talk about how the team is doing, and the football team started off really flat. It didn't go the way things certainly had been predicted with quarterback Khalil Tate. But I want to talk about an area that I think is a concern, Anthony, and I think that is the attendance at the University of Arizona Stadium this year. I know the announced attendance is often around 41,000-42,000, but you look at some of those pictures, there are a lot of empty seats, aren't there?
There are. So I actually did a little prep work for
Good.
You today.
Good, thank
you. So the average attendance this season, the average announced attendance, and we'll get back to that in a minute, is 44,374. Now, that's about a 1,700 increase from last season, which we know that Athletic Director Dave Hickey said they had a nice uptick in season ticket sales before the season, so that probably accounts for most of that. And remember, when you hear an attendance figure, that's tickets sold, not butts in the seat,
right.
Not tickets scanned. So in a lot of universities, I'm not quite sure how far Arizona goes, but you know, some universities will fudge the numbers enough to the point where they count the band, they count the media, they count the vendors, you know, everybody, they include all that in attendance. So before the season, the Wall Street Journal did a report on college football attendance, and they found that among the 129, they got real attendance figures for 96 schools
right.
in the top level of college football. Only one of them reported the actual attendance, and that was Navy. and they found that only four schools reported, you know, their reported number and their actual attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Only four schools reported 90% of that, and only a dozen schools did as much as 80%. So most of the schools are fudging at least 20% of their attendance numbers.
And I remember,
I assume Arizona, just by probability, is probably in that range.
I remember that article, and they were even talking about journalists like yourself who go to sports journalists who go to the game or guests up in the press box. All of that is counted, but the bands are even counted, the school band members.
Right. And some of that may include, free tickets they give away. So the numbers universally are played with a little bit. So yes, the number you always hear, well, the announced attendance tonight is 45,000, et cetera, et cetera. And then you look at the crowd and it's like, no, that's really more like 35 maybe. And that's probably, that's probably true if you just lop off 20% of it, at least. So, but this is not, when we talk about college football attendance and attendance specifically at Arizona Stadium, it's not, let's not make it out to be an Arizona problem. It's a college football problem. Last year, nationally, attendance was down 3.2%. And that includes the SEC, which you think of them kind of being maybe impervious to some other factors that go on nationally just because the fan bases are so crazy. But even this year, 11 of the 14 schools in the SEC are down in average attendance from last year, which was already down 3.2% from the year before.
And what is contributing to the trend?
There are several factors, and I think it's a combination of everything. One thing we hear a lot locally are the kickoff times.
Right.
And that is completely out of the university's hands because it's all tied into specific TV windows and TV network selections. When they may put their marquee Pac-12 game of the week at 12:30, which would be, maybe that's beneficial to more fans maybe. But at Arizona, it's often the 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8:30 at times. So the late kickoff times and not knowing the kickoff times until maybe a couple weeks before the game, that's an issue. The fact that we all now have huge high-definition screens in our house and all the games are on TV, that is a big deal. The home experience, staying at home and watching college football, is a much better experience now than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. The games are too long. They often go 3.5 hours plus. That's a detriment to some. It's an all-day commitment if you're tailgating or if you're coming in from out of town. Arizona here has had each of the last two seasons, they've had a Friday night game. That depresses attendance. Now, specific to Arizona, I've heard a lot of complaints over the years about those aluminum bleachers.
Right, yes.
So comfort is an issue. And Arizona has done pretty much all they can do to address some of these things. The North End Zone renovation a few years ago. You've now had the Zona Zoo renovations on the east side of the stadium that were new this year. There are plans to put chair-back seatings throughout the stadium. They've got the big video board. So they're doing what they can, but it's really swimming against the tide.
Are there concerns at the University of Arizona about this? Are these numbers are they budget busters, Anthony Jimeno?
I don't know what they budget.
Okay.
So that'd be a good question for somebody at the university would talk about it. They usually budget very conservatively when it comes to attendance and what they need to hit. But yeah, I mean, college football, whether it's here or pretty, and it's less important here because the basketball revenue is so good. But that's still, football is your main economic driver for athletic departments. Now we get back to TV, right?
Right.
A lot of the athletic department revenue comes from TV contracts through the conference. And once you're beholden to the TVs, they get to dictate, again, when you play your games. So you're paying the devil in some regards, and that's the price you pay. That's the price you pay. You may get lower attendance in exchange for TV money. So it's not necessarily a great deal for the fans, but it's what athletic departments have to do.
All right, just about out of time, and of course, there's the product on the field.
Yeah, winning always helps, but I'm telling you, but winning isn't necessarily the bottom line here. It's not as simple as we win, people will show up.
Yeah,
there's so many other factors which we just talked about in play.
All right, Anthony Jimeno, we are setting the table for your colleague Steve Rivera.
As usual.
Yeah, Steve shows off to a great start. Hard to believe we've only been the all-local format's only been a week already. I mean, this all started a week ago last Thursday, and we're doing real well. And, Anthony, I do appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Anthony Jimeno of All Sports Tucson, a colleague of Steve Rivera. And Steve Rivera's On the Ball show is coming up next here. We'll get on the ball, and we're going to wrap it up on Buckmaster on behalf of Bob Dio. Thank you, Bob. Another great performance on your end of things. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.